say up front, you are not going to get a Christmas card from me. And that's not because I don't care about you. It's because I never managed to get them out in time. It's been years since I actually sent any Christmas cards. And so maybe it's a little ironic that I was studying the USPS mailing deadlines the other day. They sent out a postcard. I looked at it. How long does it take to send this package? When do letters and cards need to be sent out? But even as I was looking at it, I knew what I was going to do. I could see that authoritative, here is the deadline. I was going to do the same thing that I do every year. I'll think about it. I'll intend to do it. But there's always something else that needs to be done. And it's sort of like, well, could I eke out a little more? And sometimes I did. Sometimes when I used to send out cards, I'd eke out a little more. I'd get it a day or two after the deadline, and it'd still arrive on time. I remember one year, for example, I received a Christmas card the day after Christmas from a panicked person who apparently received my card on Christmas Eve and realized he had forgotten to send me a card. I wasn't trying to do that sort of thing, but I've ended up in those places where I'm sending it out at the very last minute. And I have those deadlines. But it's sort of, well, but this needs to be taken care of first. That needs to be taken care of first. And so it strikes me, I really need two things. One, I need to know the authoritative deadline, where to look for it, so I don't play those games like, could I get away with it a little longer? Can I really trust that this postcard is accurate on how long I can go? And then secondly, I need to sense the urgency right now so I don't get to the point that it's too late. It hasn't worked out for me in recent years on Christmas cards. So I apologize in advance. Just as my cat is crying, so too do all of us as we don't get to exchange those cards. And they're beautiful things. But just always seems like the deadline passes me by. And we don't want, and what we find in Scripture as we reflect on the miracle of the Incarnation, is we don't want the deadline that God has for us to pass us by. Because we do the same thing, right? We wonder, can I really know when it's going to happen? And do I have that reliable source of when the end is going to come? And then all these other things tear at us that we're busy with, that we feel like, well, maybe I should do this first or that first. And then I'll get around, because maybe I can eke out just a little bit more time, even if the postcard says this is the due date. But we don't want to be left crying when it's too late. So let's pray that tonight we recognize the wonder and the miracle of what God has done to bring an authoritative point to us, then that we actually respond to it. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for telling us all that we need to know how to respond. You don't tell us the exact date, but you tell us when we should respond. You don't tell us all the details, but you tell us what we need. Would you help us to hold on to that and be transformed by it? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Steadfast tonight. I am so glad to be with you as we continue digging in Hebrews chapter 1. And let me just say right from the get-go here, would you please hit that share button that you see right there on your screen right now? Hit that like button as well. That combination helps get the word out to more people that maybe didn't receive the postcard. And if you're like me and you haven't got those Christmas cards out, even the ones with the really nice little scripture that talks about what Christmas is really about, well, it's beautiful and it's sad, just like it's sad that I haven't gotten them out. But you know what isn't sad is when someone sees a video study of God's word and studies it with us. So please do help to get that word out. We're turning to Hebrews 1 verse 2 tonight, if you want to go ahead and flip there in your Bible. It picks up mid-sentence. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. We keep looking for signs of when the deadline is. When do we need to act? And before we get into all the things that are true about the Son and how the Son comes into the world and works, what does the author of Hebrews say? In these last days, this has happened. Now, if you recall from last week, or if you're joining us for the first time tonight, I'll just mentioned this briefly, you might want to go back and dig into that further. But verse 1, we hear about the prophets of old and how God has spoken throughout the ages, and that consistency that we can count on, that he has continued to speak throughout the ages. But now as we get into verse 2, we're told something else has happened. How urgently would you look for what really matters if you knew right now were the end times? If you're one of those warnings that the end is near and it's going to be on December, I think one of the most recent ones was like December 12th, one year not too long ago, that got a lot of coverage. Let's say it really were December 12th. It's not, at least as far as I know. I'm not making a prediction tonight, but let's just say it were. And you knew that. How urgently would you want to dig into the scriptures and know more about Jesus and know more about what he wanted you to do in those last few days? Wouldn't you feel that urgency because it's the last days? And I think we all say, yeah, if I knew that, so what do we do? Well, we start to look for signs. We start to look for signs of the end times so that we can say, ah, when I see this, when there's certain wars, when there's certain disagreements in the world, when certain signs happen, maybe in the Middle East or in the sky, well, then I know that the end is near. But Jesus said we couldn't foretell it. Part of the issue, and that's what we see here in the beginning of Hebrews, is we are in the end times. We shouldn't be looking for the end times. We are in them and have been for the last 2,000 years. That might sound kind of funny. You say, Tim, that's a long end times. Yeah, I know. It's not what we're hoping for, where it's like that clear blockbuster movie end times thing where you can lay it all out and know exactly, well, this is going to happen 2 weeks from now and 2 weeks after that. Can't do that. We don't have that certainty about exact time. But what we can know is that God's done what he's going to do, what really matters. We're not waiting for God to do something that really matters. Yes, he's going to return. That does really matter. But the thing that really matters that determines how we can approach that return, well, it's already happened. And so when we're talking about history, what really is a transformative event that says, okay, now history has reached its pinnacle, and now we just have to decide what we're going to do with it. That happened when Jesus came to this earth, and he lived on this earth, and he taught on this earth, and he suffered on this earth, and he died on this earth for us. We look for signs of the end times, but we're in them. We're in the end times. Don't need to be looking for it. And so then, if we'd answer the question, what would we do if we knew we were in the end times or the end times were approaching, would we feel more urgency? If we answered yes, and I think all of us presumably would, even if you don't believe that such a thing as end times, if suddenly you knew that there were such a thing, probably would have a little bit more urgency. Well, Scripture says we are in it. So if we said yes, we should have urgency, then the point here is, yes, we should have urgency and we should have it right now. That postcard has been mailed. We've read it. Now what are we going to do with it? If you're like me with Christmas cards, say, well, maybe I can get to it tomorrow. But when you see that deadline and the deadline is actually already in motion, it's the day that the deadline comes, the end times for mailing the postcard or the Christmas cards in response to that postcard is here right now. Well, then you don't want to push it off for another day and say, well, you know, maybe it'll work. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. We don't know how long we have. And I'm not trying to make this a fire and brimstone sermon, but simply to say, when we're talking about Christmas, we're talking about the end times. It sounds kind of weird. We think of end times and apocalypses and planes crashing and fiery things and plagues. And end times is Jesus coming, the God of the universe coming into the world to redeem the world. That's the end times event that really matters. Yes, he's going to return. We want to affirm that. We don't want to say he came and went and we never see him again, or the world will never be fully restored. But the part that really matters is, what do we do with what's already happened? Well, that's all we need. We don't need more. I don't need to get into how quickly each machine in the Postal Service can process things in order to decide if that date is valid or not. I know that if I want to make sure that my Christmas cards get to people on time, that the date on that postcard is the date I should go with. I shouldn't question if I can go further. And the more it matters, if I have someone who's going to be insulted, thankfully I don't. I would have insulted those people a long time ago. But if I had someone who would be deeply insulted by not getting a Christmas card from me, well, I definitely wouldn't want to play chicken with that postcard on that person. I don't want to go ahead and send it. We're not looking for signs of what comes tomorrow or the day after or the day after, because everything is already different now. It's time when everything was pointing to Jesus and everything was hoping for Jesus. And now everything is, how do we respond to Jesus? That's it. We don't need to put it off. But we do, right? Whether we believe in Jesus or not, we often lack the urgency, because there's two things with that postcard, if you think about it. I mentioned my own problem, but then when I did used to actually eventually get them out, there was also what I did to the people who received the card that maybe hadn't sent a card and suddenly went into a panic and had to rush out, say, on Christmas Eve and mail out a card because you can't not reciprocate. Well, it would have been better if I'd sent it out sooner so I didn't make that poor person go through that, right? We should look at the dates, respond. But so often, we do just kind of put it off. The author of Hebrews says, no, you're in the end times right now. And everything you're searching for, it's already here. So why not respond right now? Reminds me of a subscription I signed up for, about 6 months ago to edit some video footage that we got in for the church, and it was kind of messed up. It didn't sound quite right. And I thought, I wonder if I can clean that up. And I found this tool online you could subscribe to, and you could clean up audio. It didn't actually clean up what I needed to clean up. But I thought, well, I've already paid for the month. I guess I'll wait till the end of the month to cancel. Maybe there's something else I could do so I didn't waste that. Well, any time that I went to hit the cancel button and say, are you sure you want to cancel now? Because you'll immediately lose all the benefits of your plan, but you already paid for them. So I put it off. And then all of a sudden, wait a second, it's renewed again. And again, I still haven't managed to cancel that service because it's always, well, now I paid for another month. Maybe I could actually use it for something. In truth, it's done no good to me. I've tried several times. It hasn't worked. Why I don't just go and cancel? Because I know it's not going to do anything I need. Why not just go cancel right now? Maybe I should do it while we're even talking. I'm not going to. But it sort of makes sense, wouldn't it? Rather than finding out yet again I'm too late. Well, when we play that game with God and we say, well, tomorrow I'll sense urgency about where I am in history. Today, I have these other really important things. Here's the truth. None of that stuff is actually going to work in the end, at least not to the same extent. I'm not saying give up your daily duties. We see people who decide the end times is near and they just give up every earthly duty they have, all their responsibility to their jobs and their families and their friends, and they just sort of shut down. Okay, it's time for the end. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying as we do those things, we need to maintain the urgency that we are living in the end. We're not looking for the end. Because that changes how we approach things. It changes how we approach whether we should share the gospel. It changes how, even as we do our job, are we doing it fully to God's glory? Are we thinking, someday I can glorify God? Right now, I'm just going to try to get a promotion or something. Well, no, if we're at the end, we're living in the end times. We should live every day that Jesus might return tomorrow. And I would really like to be doing what I would want to be doing if I knew I had one day left to do what God had called me to do. One day, each of us will have one day left, whether Jesus returns in our lifetime or we take our last breath and we encounter Jesus after death. Whichever way, it's going to happen. So what are we going to do? Instead of searching for signs, instead of searching for proof of the end times, what if instead we started searching for someone who needs to know the signs that have already happened? I mentioned a little while ago, would you share this video? And I'm not trying to turn this all into a promotion, but if you would you share this video? And if you won't share this video, will you share something else that's pointing people to Jesus today? I'm not saying that this video is the perfect. This live stream is perfectly laying out the gospel in every way and that it's the only thing you should share. But somebody's searching for something and they're going to find end time stuff. They'll find just other spiritual things, self-improvement things. They'll find all kinds of things, especially in this holiday season as everyone's stressed. Here's how you can improve. But what thing really matters? Will you share that today somehow, whether it's with this video or some other video, that Jesus will return? And just like the first Advent, when Jesus came into the world, yes, he'd been foretold, but no, people were not ready in that moment. He'll return again that way. We're living in the end times. What are we going to do? Well, we say, well, I just need to find the signs of instruction. I need to find out how I'm going to do it, how I live the way that Jesus wants me to live. But he has it laid out for us. Matthew 24:42, therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would not have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming to you in an hour you do not expect. Jesus says, just do what you would do if you knew I were returning right now. Right? If you know that someone's breaking into your house right now, you're going to take action. You're going to lock all the doors. Maybe you're going to somehow try to defend your house. Maybe, better yet, you call the police as you know the burglar is coming up the street, because the police can be there in time and arrest the burglar and everything's taken care of. But you're going to act preemptively and hopefully in the most wise way possible, because you know it's going to come, as opposed to trying to respond in the moment and not being ready. And that's what Jesus says we should do. Now we say, but how do I prepare for the end? What do I do? I know that I sing Christmas carols at Christmas, but how do I take that beyond just certain performative things I can do? Well, back to Hebrews 1, verse 2. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Here's what we need to understand. History is not this independent thing that's moving along without God. History is moving because of God, through him. And so if we want to know what we should do, there is nothing better we can do than look to Jesus and what we know about Jesus in his word. We look to the living word in his written word, and we find, okay, maybe not the precise detail on everything we'll do. The Bible isn't necessarily going to tell you whether to take one job or another, whether to move to one state or country or another. It's not going to tell you those details necessarily, although sometimes a little and help us clarify on that if we realize one is more God-honoring. But it does give us the really important stuff. We should share the Gospels we've been talking about. We should love our neighbors as ourselves and love our God with our whole heart. Those things are clearly written, and what do you know? Jesus is the one who says them. We're trying to understand what to do. We don't need to go looking for signs. We don't need to find some guru that can tell us what to do. You certainly don't need to be listening to me. You need to go and listen to Jesus. He's the one that has what we should do. And when we gather together and study his word, what are we doing? We're hopefully just looking at what he's saying we should do, how we should live, what's true about his care for us. We're going to those things together, and that's a useful thing. But it's still about going to him. We're looking to him. If he's the one that's moving history, isn't he the one that we want to listen to? We should have all the signs that we want. Isn't it ironic, speaking of the end times, that we spend all this time looking for the end times and Jesus says we're not going to figure it out, and yet we say, well, but maybe I can, Jesus. No, let's look to Jesus, and Jesus says we're not going to. We read the prophets, we should, because they tell of Jesus. But what we need to understand is that when Jesus came, everything changed. Why? Because a son is greater than a prophet. One of the little details that sometimes gets missed in translation, for example, I'm using the ESV, and if you look at verse 2 of Hebrews 1 in the ESV, it says, spoken to us by his son. More properly from translation, it should be spoken to us by a son. And you might say, well, that sounds weird. Did God have more than one son? That's not the point. What the author of Hebrews is talking about is there are categories, right? There's a prophet, and he says a son. And we know who the Son is, and Hebrews is going to spend a lot of time talking about Jesus and who he is. But the first thing he wants to establish once we get past what time is it, it's the end times, is whom is it that we're talking about in the end times? We're talking about the category of a son, not a prophet. Jesus isn't just a great teacher. Jesus isn't just a miracle worker. Jesus is a son. And incidentally, as we know, the son. And so if there's the choice to listen to a son or a teacher or a pastor or a guru or a self-help specialist or this expert or that expert or this influencer or that influencer, if there's all these different things and people and ideas calling to us, but only one of them is a son, well, the son is greater. He says, trying to understand what to do? Well, look to the son. And thankfully, that doesn't require some weird mystical search. Because as we talked about last night, Gospel of Luke makes a very clear point. In the Gospels, we find the Son, fully revealed, laying down his teaching, laying down how to live, laying down his life for us in history. And so we find that if we want to know who the Son is, we study his word and find him. So when I say look to Jesus, I'm not talking about, yes, we should pray and seek to look to Jesus for day-to-day things and try to discern God's will on things that aren't clearly defined by Scripture. But so much of it is just looking to Jesus in Scripture and absorbing him. And how often when we say, what should I do in this situation, that we realize, even if we just boil it down to those two simple greatest commandments, loving our neighbor as ourselves and loving God with our whole heart, if we just go with those two, how often would one of those two invalidate the choices that we're considering? Or make one clearly better? We say, well, I could do either of these things. Neither of these things are sinful, but only one loves my neighbor. Or I could do either of these things, and generally speaking, they're both good, but this one is going to allow me to keep my focus on Jesus, going to allow me to keep my focus where he wants me, and the other one might become a distraction to me. How often do we run into that? We make it too complicated. We're looking for signs. We're looking for intermediaries we can go to that can explain things, and he's already given us the greatest sign. He's already given us the greatest word, the greatest instruction. We want to look for signs of instruction, and Jesus says, I am your sign of instruction. Look to me. No, the greatest commandments aren't going to explain every single thing we should do. But whenever we want to do something and it doesn't fulfill those two, well, that's a pretty good sign that maybe we need to revise. And most of the time when I'm not sure, if I really think about it, right there is a good filter. And yet we look elsewhere. We look for others to explain it for us. We look at others who say, well, the scripture doesn't get into this. So maybe someone else somewhere else will have this mystical insight for me, or this at least celebrity insight for me. And I'm not saying we don't look to experts in different fields, right? If I've used the example before, and it's always apropos. If I fall over after the live stream tonight and break my leg, I don't need to open the Bible and say, I wonder how I fix my leg. No, I should go to an urgent care or ER and get my leg fixed, right? If I want to get my car running again, I don't open up God's word. I drive to the mechanic or have my car towed to the mechanic, because that's where that's going to be solved. There's common sense to all this. But how often are we getting into meaning and calling and all those sorts of things, and we still act as if we're going to go to the mechanic or the doctor, and we forget that, no, we have the Son. We're not going to get better than that. There isn't a better option to find out there. You know, we put that in between him and us anyway. Read a few months ago that Taco Bell is experimenting with AI order taking, that when you pull up to the drive-thru now, it might sound like you're talking to a human being, but at least part of the time, you're actually talking to an AI that simulates a human being, and perhaps by virtue of the terrible speakers they always have and so on, we won't even notice that it's any different than it always was. And there's probably a great deal of truth to that, because there have been so many times that I've gone through Taco Bell and the order was totally wrong. They could have just randomly put together an order and handed it out the window and it would have been just as accurate. So maybe it's not a big deal, but people kept finding that, surprisingly, even as bad as often the order taking there was anyway, that when they were dealing with AI, it got worse, right? You use one of those smart home speaker devices, you know, there's a lot of times you talk to it and it doesn't understand what you're saying. And now you're trying to order food through a bad speaker and get it to understand what you're saying. Other people realized that it also couldn't use common sense. And so, for example, one person ordered thousands of cups of water and the AI just dutifully processed it. There's a lot of problems there. And we quickly realized that having this electronic intermediary between the person putting together the order and us is not a good thing. It would be much better for the person assembling the order to talk to us. And if something's misunderstood, to be able to say, I don't understand what you want, rather than reading the output, oh, this person wants 1,000 cups of water and bean burritos with no beans in them. A human being would ask about that. The AI may not. We know that, right? We don't want an AI order taker. People reacted very negatively to this. I want to talk to a real human being whom I can ask questions to. Taco Bell, I believe, is reconsidering the plan now. But how often do we basically do the same thing with God? We say, yes, God, you have your word. You gave it to me. You call me to be in prayer before you. You call me to be with your people who are also immersed in your word. And yet we say, well, but maybe if I just let the TikTok algorithm show me some videos of preachers, or the Facebook Reels algorithm pick out that, maybe that will speak meaning to me. And true, if it actually shows someone who's biblically faithful, I'm not saying that there is no truth at all to be had there. But we need to quit trusting algorithms. We need to quit trusting computers. We need to quit trusting people just because they become famous and get interviewed, that's our source of information and meaning and purpose and explanation for everything going wrong. And we need to just get back to, if I open up God's word every day, if I read it every day, I may not always know what to do in the moment, but for one, it's urgent because we're in the end times. And two, God's already given me what I really need, which is to encounter his son. And everything else is building on that. We keep looking for signs of the times. And yet we keep coming up with subpar results, like ordering from an AI. Isn't it funny? We keep looking for them. Keep expecting somehow it'll work this time, even though God keeps saying, but I gave you my son. Look to him, not to all those other things. Keep looking for signs of the times, but it's time for the son. If only we can remember that this Christmas, that's really what matters, that Christmas is about it being the time for the son and not for other signs. When we get to the sign that actually matters, would you pray with me, please? Father, would you please help us to quit looking to all kinds of other things to give us meaning and understanding, and to look to you. You called us into your presence, that through Jesus we have a great high priest who intercedes for us, that in the wonder of what you did in the incarnation, you then didn't even leave us alone, but sent your very spirit to dwell in us. We have your presence. We have your word. We have the history of it. We have the miracle of it. And yet we look everywhere else. Lord, would you help us to quit doing that, but instead to keep turning to you, both this day and every day, and especially as we're in this Christmas season, to remember that Christmas is really about the end times coming, not the spectacular Hollywood end times, but the real end times, that we come into the time where you have fixed the problem. You have redeemed us, that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you help us to hold on to that promise this Christmas? We pray in Jesus' name. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. And if it has, again, please give it a like or a share. And whether or not you do that, please share something of the hope of Christmas today. It's urgent. You shouldn't put it off. Speaking of things that you can do that you could share, people often, even if they don't go to church all the time, love to come on Christmas Eve and those special Christmas services. We have lots of Christmas services coming up. You can see that on screen, the Little Hills .church/Christmas link there. You can go ahead and type that in and go there, and it has it all laid out for you, everything that we have coming up at Little Hills. But I especially want to ask you, we're only a few weeks away now, save 7 p.m. Central Time on December 24th, that's Christmas Eve, save that time and date to come be a part of Little Hill's celebration of the birth of the Savior. And you can do that online or in person. There's really nothing we can do on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, that's more important than remembering what it's actually about. And that's what we do together when we gather together as a church. So I hope that you'll take part in that. And again, it's a perfect opportunity. Share that urgency with someone who's said, you know, someday I want to get back into church. This is a great time to do it. Maybe that's you yourself. It's a great time to do it. You don't have to have someone else ask you first. Just come. We'd love to have you. Consider this me asking you. Please be a part of it. If you have any comments or questions, any way I can be praying for you, or maybe you're going to ask someone and you could use some prayer on that, you can always use our texting line, 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. Or leave a comment in the comments below. That's always great as well. It's great when we can pray together in that way. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed rest of your Christmas preparations this week, and I'll see you again, hopefully on Sunday for our next Advent service, and then back here on Monday night.